I'll tell you this now that we're recording again. I was 5 minutes away from the worst text message ever after we recorded with Leo last time, where I was going to be like, I don't have anything. I can't find anything. I found everything. We're good. You have it.
I do have it. Okay. I do have.
And you know how we recorded and then I stopped recording, mm-hmm. like after Leo came in, and then we started again?
Yes.
Zoom did not like that. It was like, whoa, wait. And so when it initially posted things, it just posted our initial files and it didn't have anything after Leo showed up. I just needed to like do it again. I don't know. It was weird, but it came up after that. It was so stupid. And now I know in the future, we'll close down the Zoom session and then start it up again.
Well, we're never having guests ever again.
Welcome to Know Your Rights, a music podcast from two guys who know just enough about songwriting to start a podcast about.
Follow Rob
and Colton
as each week we dive into a different band or songwriter and discuss what makes them great,
okay, or otherwise.
Music is law,
and we know our rights.
Brand new year.
Well, welcome.
Welcome, everybody. 2024.
Is that the year? Oh, my God.
It is. It is. We're here. Well, okay. In podcast sense, we're here, everybody.
We are transporting ourselves into the future. I hope that we had good New Year's. I hope that it was.
Me too. My assumption is probably not, but that optimist in me is saying it was good. It was great.
It's great. It was great. I mean, I think we talked about this in our Daft Punk episode, but I'm not a huge New Year's person anyway. So I'm more excited for it to be over.
More than likely, I failed on all of my resolutions.
You just got going. You have plenty of time.
You're right. I got to dive back in. Rinse and repeat.
I'm still failing from last year's resolutions actively towards the end of this year. So we're...
No, it resets. It resets the next year. You're no longer failing once it reaches the next year.
You know what, though? One resolution, start and continue a podcast with Rob for a full year.
Look at us doing it.
Scoreboard.
And everybody, as you may have heard, if you listened to the last episode, we are now part of Bass Blown Entertainment.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We should say welcome to Bass Blown Entertainment Presents. Ooh. Know Your Rights. Mm. Yeah. Not bad. If you want to congratulate us, email us at know.your.rights. How do you spell rights?
WRITES.
.podcast@gmail.com.
First resolution right there is just seamlessly spell rights.
It was very, and we, that was good. I guess us stopping to talk about how good that went ruins how well it actually went.
And that's my first failed New Year's resolution.
But that's the beauty of editing. Just strike that out. Who cares? Yeah, you know, I'm upset because I really want to talk to you about our artist today, which is Modest Mouse. This was so, so cool. But I really want to talk to you about baseball. That's
sports
all I
talk. Like, sorry, guys.
People.
We're Dodgers fans. And this shook up the MLB world.
But you and I think maybe we were like holding this up for a while because we didn't want to talk about it subconsciously. Like you and I talked on the phone for like an hour. Right after the Dodgers signed Shohei Ohtani. And if you're right now, you're someone who doesn't like sports and you're hearing us say Shohei Ohtani, you're like, who cares? Who cares about this person?
You should care.
He's what do you think, Rob? Like, I think maybe historically, it'll take a while for us to assess it fully, but at least in the years he's played so far, he is the best living baseball player.
Unbelievable. And it's really because he's a pitcher and hitter. But my concern is $700 million, even though I felt much better when I heard about the deferment, the contract's not worth shit if he doesn't come back to pitching like he used to. He is not $700 million worth of a good hitter. He's not.
No. Well, and I think that's why that number is what it is. Like that, and I guess that's the gamble, right? But, I mean, that's most of the Dodgers pitching rotation at this point anyway.
It is exciting. It's exciting. The Dodgers are staying on top of the baseball world, and you know how much I hate the Yankees, so I just love the fact that the Dodgers have usurped their position.
I don't like the whole idea of like whether or not 700 is too much at this, like anything over like these last couple of contracts that have gone it's all just like crazy monopoly money. Like it there's so 700 doesn't like, you know, I'll clutch my pearls as much, but to me, it's also the psychological impact on other teams. They're like, oh, course the Dodgers.
Oh yeah. No, the Dodgers have, they're the forefront of the most hated team in baseball now.
Yeah.
It's why I hate the Yankees. It's now the Dodgers have taken that stance or taken that.
But the Yankees have way too many super annoying things where it's like they don't have last names on the back of the jerseys. Like, oh, could you play for the name on the front of the jersey?
You couldn't play for the Yankees. And
oh, yeah. And you can't have a facial hair. A you can only have a mustache.
So I could totally play for the Yankees. And honestly, if you're willing to pay me like Shohei, I'll do it. I'll do it. I will swallow my pride and play for the Yankees if they're willing to pay me $50 million.
I'm so down. There's not a lot that would have gotten me excited. And I was going to get excited about baseball again anyways. But it has been like, now I'm just like, let's do this. I'm ready to
do this until next postseason. Because if it happens the same way, I may give up on baseball entirely. If the Dodgers just can't even get past the NLDS.
Well, not getting past the division series the last couple of years, that's been bad. Like get to the NLCS, the championship
series. At least give yourself a shot, because I know baseball's a crapshoot, but based off of the contract and where we might be, we are really starting this New Year's just right for our listeners.
You know what? We needed to do this. This has been, we've been holding off on sports talk for your benefit, listener, for a long time. And it's welled up to this. And then this momentous thing happened. We had to do it.
It was big. It was big. Some of you got to like sports. Come on. can't just be anybody who loves music is like, no, sports suck. That can't be the case.
I'm going to get us back on track. And how dare you bring up sports, Rob?
Initially. I know.
You who did it. I'm going to, we started this episode. We looked at each other and we went, what is our first segment? But we had it. Time gave it to us.
You know, there's this connection you and I have. There's this chemistry in which we both apparently just knew what we were going to talk about. And that's, we're going to reevaluate last year.
Yeah. Every episode.
Not news. No, we're not going to talk about it. Let's get into politics now.
That's the chick show territory. That is
exactly
not...
which now officially we are siblings. It's like that's the marriage happened, and now legally, we are siblings.
Who got married then? Our parent podcasts. I feel like we're spouses.
I don't know. I didn't really work out the. I guess spouses. Yeah, spouses.
What we planned on doing is we're gonna each cover what we think were of the bands and records that we covered from last year, the calendar year of 2023, the best and worst song for each of us that we talked about at any point during our podcasts. Is that accurate? Is that
that works for me.
All right. So which one should we do first? Should we lead with best?
Let's always try to start for the new year. Let's keep on with the start positive.
And then we'll end really negatively.
I will.
Like most years. Okay. So I feel like this is very on brand for me, and I don't think this is a surprise if people have been listening to this podcast for the entire year. I'm like actually trying to think of another song. Maybe one of the songs we're going to cover today would be better.
Possibly.
But of the year 2023, the best song I think we covered, it was the first best song this podcast has ever had.
You said that a lot. You said that a lot.
Weezer, Say It Ain't So.
Say It Ain't So is just one hell of a song. And you know what? People have asked me because I've said throughout plenty of our episodes, I'm like, I don't know if that's the best song we've done. And they're like, well, tell me another one. it's very difficult. That song is a perfect song.
I was thinking that exercise you asked me about last episode, that was the first song that came to mind. And I went, well, we can't do that song again. It's hard for me to overstate, to me at least, when I hear that song, how everything works. And it's how we talked last time about a perfect song is really one where there's nothing that needs to be added. It is as it should be. I think Say It Ain't So is the perfect example. And it's Weezer in all of their majesty actually working all at once. The lyrics are like, it's like Rivers Cuomo forgot that he doesn't have to like mirror the internet. Like, they've become the internet at this point, Weezer, in the most obnoxious way. But he was like actually an artist writing a song and Say It Ain't So. And it was about himself, which I appreciated. I don't know. It was great.
It blends everything. And, you know, you're talking like maybe from a lyrical stance. For me, it's just sonically everything's perfect.
Oh, it's when you get that. Da-na, I mean, there's a lot of songs we've covered that do that start and stop. Like, I'm thinking like very Brain Stew. There's a few others.
Sure. But and it's so hard to recreate the wow. I've covered that song with friends. I've seen people cover it. And that part is really hard to execute. Even Weezer has a tough time executing it live. It's just on the recording. It doesn't matter. That's just another little quality. It's so fast. Just the opener, everything. Everything on it. Just musically, they're all one unit.
And I don't think I covered this last time. And this might be the last time we talk about this song on the podcast. I don't know. Probably
we'll
not.
See.
But the solo rips. And I love, like, Pinkerton is my favorite Weezer solo record, but Say It Ain't So solo coming in basically like bleeding in from that bridge, right? All in one.
Oh, sure. And it's got that like cool like kind of scale shift, you know, scale change.
Right.
It's like, that's clever writing. That's excellent. It's just, yeah, that's fine, Colton. You can go with that as your favorite song.
I sense your eye roll. Let me hear it.
The only one that I have actually really re-listened to since last year, this is off the top of my head. We kind of pieced this together last minute.
Mm-hmm.
But I Was Meant for the Stage. I don't know what it is about that fucking song, but it hits me every single time. Every single time. And it's what we discussed in the episode. I believe the Decemberists, everybody, sorry. I believe the Decemberists got Colton's highest rating. It might have been mine. I lost track. I know that you once thought that I was going to memorize all of our ratings.
I was really impressed. Yeah, that was.
But that fizzled out pretty quick. But that song, like I said in that episode, it reminds me of, to me, the stage is the funeral stage. You know, it has such a different connotation to me. Is connotation right where I don't fucking know. It has this different context to me that I just, it drags me in every single time. And just the melody is so beautiful, and I love the orchestra. I love how it's all put together. That's the song that I would say over the last year, that's the one that has stuck with me the most.
Mm-hmm.
Say It Ain't So had been around. That was one that was kind of newer to me.
Yeah.
That was an album I wasn't familiar with as much.
It's funny, thinking back on, because to me, part of this podcast has been so great is trying to take apart the DNA of these like really great songs to see what makes them great. And what I've found in a way which is like counter to what I thought would happen, you know, you think you'll like unlock something and you go, oh, now I get it. Now I understand it. What I've found more than anything is that these great songs, there's so much alchemy involved where it's just sometimes it's the perfect mixture. It's the perfect blend of the theme the key.
It's so ambiguous. It's just like, it's hard to narrow it down. Somebody, you could have two separate artists play the same song and they could play it almost identical, but there's just their thing that they put into it, and it just makes it that much better. And it's really hard to put your finger on it. I mean, we're not the best critics. We just are pretending to be.
Yeah.
You know?
But I also, I don't know, like, to me, there's something much like us as podcasters, right?
Mm-hmm.
It is a quest for perfection, right? Or a quest for that next thing that's going to, like, really feel like it works. And it's like when I hear people talk about, and when I talk about, like, the craft of songwriting, to me, the craft is not like, I don't know. There are, to me, people who approach it on a theoretical level, like music theory and scales, keys, times, and like almost like a mathematical equation, right? Which Modest Mouse has a song, Universe Mathematical Equation. Mm-hmm. I think what you and I have found is having all those things, like tools in your toolbox, right? This is something Stephen King talks about with writing. You have tools with, like, you know, musicianship, you have melody, you have lyrics. These are all things at your disposal to make a song what it is. I think that the ultimate product is almost always, if it's a great song, it's going to be more than the sum of its parts, right?
Yeah.
There's something that is, and you're never really privy. I think the songs that I've written that people have responded to the most are not songs that felt great when I wrote them necessarily, yeah, sure. Right? It was just the exercise.
Yeah, it's funny using the, like, trying to use metaphors for it, because in my mind, I like to think of, like, ingredients and creating a perfect dish.
Mm-hmm.
After a while, how experimental can you get? Yeah. You know, you just have to, you have to find a way to be sincere. I think that's probably the thing we enjoyed the most, is when it comes across sincere, when it comes across, well, I don't know, because even I've said before that, like, sometimes ambition is a good thing, sometimes ambition is a bad thing. But
I think that sincerity, mm-hmm, works with that, right? Like, yeah, I think the band that we're about to talk about, that's more than anything, that is like the thing that makes Modest Mouse, to me at least, so powerful.
Yeah.
Is the sincerity that everything is and I'm not just talking about like lyrics or that, like everything about that band to me is done with intention, as like this idea that there's no pretension, right?
Yeah.
Like one of the least pretentious smart bands ever.
Yeah, I think some sort of critic who talked about their first album and said they tried and failed at remaining naive. Like, yeah. That's pretty spot on.
Well, so what do we do? This felt so great. Should we go to Nick, or should we go to Worst Song? Let's do it.
I can go to Worst Album immediately.
Go to Worst Album.
Yeah, Eat the Elephant. I still am mad at that album. Maynard, I love you, dude. That album, I haven't forgotten.
Here's the thing. My worst song is Annihilation by A Perfect Circle off of Emotive.
I figured you were going to go more the Emotive direction. I would go Eat the Elephant, which that sucks, because their first two, gold.
Well, and gold, here's albums. If I was going to do a second place, Weak and Powerless is second place for me. The best song that we've done all last
year. I was going to go probably best album, it might be 13th Step. It really might be the best album out of all the albums I listened to last year.
Maybe that or Erykah Badu.
Yeah, I still listen to that album for sure.
Mama's Gun. Oh my God. But
not that's not the one I was thinking.
Oh, I know it's not. That's fine. I was thinking. We're going to rehash our Badu. No, Annihilation still, like, I haven't listened to that record again. It still makes me upset. I can't actually do it.
Why do you not like that, Colton?
Don't do the whispers. I have nightmares of James Keeter whispering in my ear. What's his name?
What was that?
Maynard. I forgot his
James
name.
Keenan. James Keener?
James Keener.
Lucky, that's one of your buddies, right? That is one of my pals, James Keener. I'll get him on here. I promise. I'll invite him for next episode.
Joey Addict.
Yep. That's your voice, Colton.
James Keener. How dare you? Okay.
By the way, Lucky is still here, everybody. In the new year, we decided we forgave him. We forgave him for that episode. He's still here. But
Santa Claus is not coming back. If he comes back, I think he's going to sound a little different than he did
this we'll first see. Year. Come Easter.
All right. Well, how about this? Let's take our first commercial break.
Our first official commercial break, everybody.
And then we'll get into Modest Mouse.
Sounds good.
If you're looking for fun events, awesome music, and enjoyable podcasts, then look no further. The Baseball and Entertainment family has you covered. With so many talented people in our community, it was only right that we not only bring you events, but all sorts of awesome entertainment. Follow Baseball on social media or join our Discord community to stay updated and engaged in everything. That is at Baseblown on social media and discord.gg/baseblown for our Discord. Baseball and Entertainment, bringing you more than just bass in your face.
And we're back, everyone.
Yes, welcome back, everybody. You know, Colton's been trying to make not have this on any of the podcasts, but the second best thing about having a commercial break, besides us being part of the Baseball and family now,
mm-hmm,
is that now we have an excuse to take a quick bathroom break in the middle of an episode, which some of the previous episodes, guys,
marathons.
You could probably hear it in my voice.
absolute marathon.
Can you hear my relaxation right now?
Total relaxation. So we are, I feel like I've been waiting, like since this podcast started, I think we've had like five bands maybe that we both have just been like ready to go on.
Yeah.
And, but we've denied ourselves those bands.
With good reason. We had to, right when we started, it's like, hey, we were dead before the ship even sank. So let's just wait before we talk about we were dead before the ship even sank.
That's
does that metaphor land? I don't know if it lands, everybody.
I don't even think it's a metaphor, but okay. I just think when I consider bands, songwriters that like from like the most impressionable time of my life, basically high school, moving into early college, where that was most of the music DNA that I have today is from that period of time.
Mm-hmm.
Modest Mouse was, if I was going to just like track how much of each band I listened to, Modest Mouse would be at the top. There was like a year period where that was all I listened to. It was just their entire discography on random in my headphones all the time.
For me, definitely not the entire discography, but three albums in particular. And we'll, of course, get to that. But yeah, that definitely constant being played. Not the same as when I went through that Tool phase in which you couldn't talk to me about any other artist. I would just listen to Tool. But yeah, no, their importance to both our formative years is up there. I think almost to an extent, I don't want to give anything too much away, but you know how we have Weezer as part of our ranking? Like, mm-hmm. We kind of compare. Modest Mouse is one of those acts to where they are also in consideration anytime I rank other artists.
Mm, as like a comparative of the two.
Yeah. They're damn good.
It is. It's one of those. Again, we were just talking about alchemy, right? And what makes them what they are. I think the really the thing that their secret sauce, you could say, or just sauce at this point,
mm-hmm.
it's Isaac Brock, right? Like, because I don't think anyone writes lyrics like Isaac Brock.
No, and he has a very unorthodox, unique, creative poetry. It's something I've discussed with you before, Tori. Like, I could read his damn lyrics and go like, oh, that was interesting.
And so the ability to be really profound, like there are moments where he says things and it's this like moment of just impact. Like he says it and it's not like a cheesy yearbook quote. It is like mining the depths of what it means to be a human being in usually the worst possible way that is so powerful. But he's also really funny.
Yeah, he's really funny because it's exactly that. What you just said, it sneaks in. Because he still has the, well, I know now what I didn't know then, but what I didn't know then, what I know now, builds it up. And it's like, he has moments like that where I'm like, eh, whatever. It's creative. It's goofy. But then he'll sneak in I don't want to use any of them now because I only have so many in my notes.
I think he's very strategic. And those moments like you're saying, I think why we're talking about other lyricists, right, that have been maybe imprecise is a word I use, right? I think Isaac Brock has an ability to like load up like phrases like that where like, I think Jesus Christ was the only child is a good example, right? Yeah. Or other ones where it can feel like he's being playful, feel like he's being cheesy. But I think with him more so than other artists with that same kind of like lyrical imprecision, you just know that he's working his way to something else, right? And there's usually at least one part of each Modest Mouse song where you're floored by something. And what we haven't even talked about, what I'm sure we both want to talk about, is his singing is also, what is it? It's even singing. It's so singular.
I've always been fascinated. I'm like, who told him he's a good singer? Because it's not, and that's not an insult, Isaac.
No.
You know, it's just, it's fascinating to me because I'm like, your voice is so unique that who was it that just went like, man, that sounds great. Was it him? Was it somebody else who just like, do it? Because I think I've told you this before, who he reminds me of. The Cowardly Lion from Wizard of Oz. He has always reminded me of that. And I'm just like, I mean, I liked Wizard of Oz and I liked moments when the lion sung, but I didn't know that you can form a band around that vocal approach. Not that all of it is that way, but he's the only guy I can think of who can do the like rough, like kind of
that he personality. He actually does rough at different points.
Yeah.
Well, and he uses it to such great effect because there'll be times where he is like yelping. There will be times where he is like they do this more so, I think, in the later albums. But there's that constant where he's kind of like yelling in the background, like mm-hmm. off mic, and you can kind of hear it. Like, yeah. I think Bukowski is a good example of that.
Yes, it's a very, very good one. He does it a lot on Lonesome Crowded West and, my God, Moon in the
Antarctica. Yeah. And he can have real menace, too, mm-hmm. in his voice when he does that, to a point where it's, like, unnerving.
Yeah, and it offers itself so well to the lyrics.
It's
but what's funny is I totally disagree about the secret sauce. My secret sauce is Isaac Brock, the guitarist. Oddly enough, like he has a very whammy bar, or you know, like pinky out the tremolo bar. Mm-hmm. You know, he uses it almost ad nauseum at certain points, but ad nauseum is not the right word. He uses it so much that you would think it would be ad nauseum,
right?
But it's done so much to create the foundation of Modest Mouse and his little lead riff ideas. It's so good, and it's so simple, because I feel like the rest of the band, nothing against Isaac Brock, I think he's probably the worst musician out of the rest of the band, even though
it's Eric Judy, right, is the bassist
on I think
he's Eric Judy has been there for all of our period. Yeah.
Okay. I know Jeremiah Green wasn't on one of the albums out of R4.
He wasn't on Good News for People Who Have Bad News, but yeah,
rest in peace. That was so sad to hear.
It was very sad because their rhythm section, those two are great.
And even on guitar. I mean, I know Johnny Morrow is on
We Were Dead.
Yeah, We Were Dead. I don't know who their guitarist was on the other, but it's like the rhythm guitar holds it down on a lot, on especially the last two out of the ones we selected.
But it is like, I don't think this is the case from the Lonesome Crowded West. It's a situation where Jeremiah Green and Eric Judy are holding the rhythm down. The rhythm is very, tons of groove, right? That bass, those bass lines are so good. And some of my favorite ones, the bass lines are just fantastic.
Yeah.
And then Isaac Brock does whammy crap.
That's the thing is Isaac Brock, he does the same thing on guitar as he does with his voice, to where it's just like, this is apparently like just what you do. And he finds a way to make it melt into the song.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. And I mean, we're going to talk about this, everyone, as we dive into our songs. They're also a band that I think in a lot of ways defies genre. Like indie rock, I guess, is the box to put them in. But I mean, they are a bluegrass band at different points. They're like a spacey, like alt rock band. They are,
the weird thing is they've found a way to do a really good job of continuing it through the albums and kind of going back to these places. Because when you said the like bluegrass, like they do such a good job of writing like the dark, I don't know what the word would be. I guess bluegrass, like banjo comes in, but they find ways to actually redo it on the next album and redo it on the next album and redo it on the next album. Tori, it's like, it feels like you can make a little EP out of these songs and it would fit into one genre, but they found a way to keep it fresh throughout it. And it's part of that, that sincerity. It's part of that, just like they are them.
And I think that is the thing where I could think of a lot of, and I'm thinking of like indie rock in particular, right? Where like we covered Vampire Weekend, it's one of our earlier bands. And I think we both said this about them, right? They're a very pretentious band. I think depending on your approach to that, it can be like a deal breaker, like get me away from these kids. Or like, I don't know, I find the humor in how they embrace it, right? And I still think there's things they can do. But it's also, there's a lot of pretension in indie rock that can be a bummer, right? Like I remember listening to this band Parkour Courts that everyone was crazy about. And their one album I listened to from them was great, but it was also, I don't know, it's everything I dislike about indie rock at the same time, where I can't help rolling my eyes at
the it's way a
they
of
try to be seen.
Anybody who's listening to this, you could not even be part of any music scene, never picked up an instrument. You've ran into the pretentious musician. You've ran into the arrogant person who just thinks they understand everything better than you, and they roll their eyes. You know, that's me throwing that back at you, Colton, because you said you roll your eyes.
I think it's a matter of like people who are like quote unquote intelligent, and then how do you fold that into the work? Like I mentioned this before, where, like, God love them, but like certain songwriters like Colin Molloy from the Decemberists swear, like they want to write a song about David Foster Wallace because they have read David Foster Wallace and they want other people to know that
was the reason. Yep.
Yeah. And I think that
I read Infinite Jest in, yeah, you know,
this is all to say that to me, one of the things I love about Modest Mouse, and the reason I will always go back to them as like the pantheon for me of just great songwriting, is they are the smartest and least pretentious. And also they find a way to make stupidity intelligent. Do you know what I mean by that? Like
Bukowski.
Yeah, Isaac Brock will say what sounds like the kind of most caveman-esque kind of thing, right? Mm-hmm. Like the words that we talk a lot with lyricism as like colors, right? He's using primary colors. He is not using complex
words
of those things. He is in the broadest colors possible.
He's not using purple. He's not using
exactly. Not a purple in any one of these for sure. But
which lets me down a little bit as a Lakers fan, but that's okay.
It's fine. Like I'm looking at like what people are made of, the last track on the Moon in Antarctica. Mm-hmm. And that is a, you know, frantic sounding last song of the record.
They like doing that.
Yeah, they really do. And there's all these poignant moments throughout the record before that. This song sounds like this crazy chaotic thing to close everything. But the last line, he says, "One thing you taught me about human beings was this: they ain't made of nothing but water and shit." All right. Like that to me is
primary colors.
That is the perfect encapsulation of Isaac Brock. Yeah. He is narrowing like all of human existence to these two different categories, but that's also poignant, beautiful, and sad.
In case you haven't read, you know, the description for the episode, everybody, we are doing Lonesome Crowded West,
Moon in Antarctica.
Yeah, and good luck with your war.
good news for people who love bad news. Yep, and we were dead before the ship even sank. They have such long album titles.
But again, it had to have been Isaac Brock who titled all of those albums.
That is like the Modest Mouse game for all records and some songs is some kind of like, you know, oxymoronic statement.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And God bless him. I love it because, you know, when we were in my friend Sam, I tried. I didn't necessarily land the same way as Isaac Brock, but that was something that I like to do too. So,
yeah. You know, this, and I should all just quickly say before, because we're getting into categories in a second, but we usually try to justify why each of us chose the certain periods of a band that we chose. Mm-hmm. I chose this because, one, I know you're a fan of later Modest Mouse. I love early Modest Mouse. This was a nice compromise, I thought. But I also, this for me, I'm going to posit this as one of the best 10-year stretches. The Beatles had a pretty good stretch 10 years.
Yes, they did. Yeah,
but one of the best 10-year stretches of album releases.
Well, it was 7 years for the Beatles. But
I know. I see. Okay. Right. But 1997.
Imagine if it was 10 years. Oh,
imagine.
<my God.
laughs> But 1997 to 2007. Four albums and some EPs in between, I know. But four albums. These four albums to me in 10 years, trying to do these categories, I know for both of us, was really difficult. There's almost not a lot of daylight between them.
Yeah. My least favorite song on this. I'm like, I don't hate this song. And I know we've said that before for previous artists, but like least favorite song is usually pretty far from the rest of the collection.
We've had tracks where, and albums where we both just sigh and go, I guess we got to talk about this. Mm-hmm. And yeah, none of that here. Yeah. Not at all.
Yeah,
So
if you're happening to listen for the first time just because you're a Modest Mouse fan and wanted to hear two assholes talk about Modest Mouse, you're not getting the same experience as a lot of other people who might have been like, oh, I want to listen to them talk about the Yeah Yeah Yes or talk about whoever, you know. It's you're getting the we're on your side. If you're a Modest Mouse fan, we're pretty much on your side.
They're on our side.
There you go.
That's the way we put it. All right, Rob, hit me with your best song.
Okay, my best song, and I know I do this a lot, but I just really, really quick, it's not my favorite, but I want to give some love to Bankrupt on Selling. I think that song is so incredibly good. Also, Alone Down There is, I don't know what it is about.
Amazing.
It's so freaking good. It has like the verse, then the chorus, and then instrumental, then the chorus, and then this badass little interlude. And then I hope none of these are yours, but Bukowski, Satin in a Coffin, Black Cadillacs were So close. Blame it on the Tetons. And I have a background story to this, guys. I have listened to Blame It on the Tetons in the best state of mind that I think most people who've listened to that song have not. I can't remember where we were, Colton, but you were driving us home. It was probably some show or whatever. Mm-hmm. And you know me on car rides. What do?
You sleep.
Yeah, I sleep. I don't want to. I hate being in cars for a long period of time, so I go to sleep. And that song came on right as we were finishing the trip. And you know that little like halfway, I'm awake, halfway, I'm asleep state? Mm-hmm. Oh my God, if you ever can find a way, if you can listen to that song in that state, it's transcendent to music. It's so beautiful and just, I don't know, I'll never forget the experience, even though I can't even describe everything, but it's just, that song's so beautiful. And I don't think it's necessarily their best song, but I guess where I'm going with this is that was the best experience I've ever had listening to Modest Mouse.
And that is, just because I don't know if we'll get to talk about it again, that's such a great example of what we were just talking about with Modest Mouse defying genre in a lot of ways. Because mm-hmm. Blame It on the Tetons is like an alt country masterpiece, right? Yeah. Isaac Brock was like, let's just write the best alt rock song that we can think of.
So pretty. And
his voice is so delicate.
Exactly. And it's so not him. If you listen to earlier stuff, it's going to be a lot of energy and stuff. And that song is so gentle. I just love that song and I love that experience. Thank you for getting me home safe.
Yeah.
As bad a driver as you are when I'm in the car with you.
That's true. But I got you home. We're all right.
You got me home safe.
All right. So is that your best song?
Yes.
Okay. That's an amazing choice.
That's my choice. Man, it's a hard choice.
This is hard for me too, because if I'm choosing my favorite Modest Mouse song, that's like an instant, like I know. It's Third Planet. Third Planet is
great choice.
My favorite for so many reasons. I think it also is one of those songs that, like, when I am trying to recreate what I think is like the ideal kind of alternative indie rock-esque kind of song, I'm using those kinds of chords. I love that open, kind of distorted but not really clean guitar they use a lot of. Everything about it is so, it's just so aesthetically perfect to me. And the lyrics, like, there again, we talked about this a lot, but lyrics, like, the universe is shaped exactly like the earth. If you go straight long enough, you'll end up where you were. That's one of those lyrics where you think about it, you think, that's stupid. And you think about it again, you go, that's brilliant.
It's one of those, it's like, what? Does it mean something? Does it not mean anything? That's cool. But I like the fact that it's that compelling.
It is. But there's also definitely resonance to it, right? That whole song where there is a, like, okay, we'll talk about that record later. I know we will. But thematically, that song encapsulates so much of the album, where it is both about the abstract, the idea of this like uncaring God, the third eye, and it's also about like really earthly, worldly matters that are really intimate. Your heart felt good. It was dripping pitch and made of wood. Like the sounds of that are just, it's magnificent. Like the sounds of words he uses are amazing. But it's also bringing up all of these like really intimate, earthly, physical things contrasted with this uncaring God looking from the sky up above. Oh, some of those lines. But this is all, now I said I feel crazy because that I just talked a bunch about Third Planet. My best song is Parting of the Century.
Fucking A. What's funny is I thought that was your choice.
They are tied. But here's the thing about Parting of the Century, which is that is like old and new Modest Mouse, like converging into one perfect storm.
And and the storm is exactly what I think. Like as that song progresses, I'm going like, oh, it just keeps getting bigger,
And it's in every, like, all the things they've learned, all those little tricks of production that they've like used throughout these four records. And that one song, it is this great, it brings all of their kind of darker country-esque acoustic shades to it. It's also got that kind of frantic kind of dance pulse towards the end. There's that real, like, I would call Isaac Brock in a lot of his lyrics nihilist in the best way, as a fellow nihilist.
I can see it. I would call it agnostic. No, nihilist for sure. It's a right term.
I don't know if he would agree with me, which is fine. I apologize, Mr. Brock. But I
he
find
might be
those
in
lyrics,
a different place now.
Likely. I find those lyrics to be like so haunting and awful, but also like so great. Like, who the hell made you the boss? What is the other one?
You say what to do, I know when, or when to start, I know when to stop. I can't remember. Because, again, I'm not... I do love the lyrics. Like, somebody someday is going to steal your carbon. I mean, I get it, and I can feel what he's going towards. But to me, it's that music. It's how everything builds. And his vocal melody is part of it, for sure.
No, I think the lyrics are just masterful. But I think, like you said, they all work together. And at the end, it's so menacing. That song's so... scary, like in a way that I like.
Yeah, that breathing thing, I think that fits to the ending too, like to where it's almost like it's exasperated breathing.
Yeah,
you know, to where it almost fits in with the song that much more is that it closes out with that.
Yeah.
Ooh. I can't, both of us can't really do it that well.
I know, I don't think I could hear you do it either. Oh man. Okay, anyway.
Yeah, great choice. I thought that was going to be, when you said Third Planet, I'm like, all right, that's a great choice. I thought for sure he was going to say Party of the Century, but...
they are maybe tied. Third Planet is always number one in my heart, but objectively to me, Party of the Century is the best. So great.
I think it's exactly what you said. It encapsulates everything.
Yeah. All right. Nope. Worst song. Should we snake draft this or...
snake draft, yeah, sure.
I'll do worst.
I'll do first and you get to choose too.
Right.
Are you going first or do you want
you
me
go,
to go?
You go.
All right, worst song, Dig Your Grave. Just kidding.
That's a very Colton answer. That's a very
quick passing track.
Horn intro.
I came as a rat. That's my worst, I guess.
Takes a long time, but God dies too, but not before he sticks to you.
Yeah, it's so great. Lyric, you can give me all the lyric crap you want. It's...
you son of... this is the part of you I don't... like. This is new. This is new. You didn't used to be this way.
I know if I have the lyrics there and I'm reading while the music's going on, while the vocals are going, it's going to hit better. But sometimes that's not the case for me. So I just take in the music and... I don't know. I Came as a Rat was just the only one that I went like. I thought the lyrics were actually kind of bland from what I could decipher, and the music's a little boring to me.
I came as ice. I came as a whore. I came as advice that came too short. I came as gold. I came as crap. I came clean, and I came as a rat.
Yeah, sorry. I don't need to hear about Isaac Brock and different ways that he
need to tell you.
Gets off.
I just need to, for the listener, I need them to know that what he is saying in the worst song contains these lyrics that are so great. Okay, we're done.
Yeah, we're done. I guess those are phenomenal lyrics. but yeah, and also, it's again, this was the briefest category to me where I was like, I'm not going to dwell on this that long.
I know. I have two. And again, like you said, it's just
snake draft. Perfect.
I mean, not okay.
I chose first. You get to choose second and third.
That's right. Son of a gun. One. Okay. I got to say this to all Modest Mouse fans. We know this, but no one says it enough. Trucker's Atlas is too long.
Oh my God. Amen. It's too long. Amen.
And I love that record. And I love, I love Modest Mouse songs. Yeah. I love long Modest Mouse songs. I think they do some of the best long songs. And they can do, like, we're not covering this, but their EP, No One's First and Your Last, that would be maybe my favorite of all the releases. And they have a very long songs on there that don't seem to go anywhere, but it's so compelling. Trekker's Atlas is too long.
It's too long. It's like 10 and a half minutes.
And Make it 7.
I think that they did something that Default American is very guilty of. Jamming. It's jamming.
And yet, does it do?
I'm not saying that they're doing anything like Default American is going to be me like playing guitar solos. Right. Whereas with them, it's just they're kind of like, yeah, we're in this little like rhythmic pocket. And I'm going like, you could cut some of it, but I agree.
It's too. And I love that record. And here's the thing, I've heard
most of that song, or not most of that song. Elements of certain segments of that song I think are really good.
The first 3 minutes maybe.
Yep.
And I've heard defenses saying, well, but that's like the whole idea is like the expand, like a lot of that record is about like travel, the city, trying to get out of there and how congesting that can be, and so like the freedom of travel, and so it's like this wide expanse that becomes this Trucker's Atlas and it feels endless. I get it. too long.
It's too long. And you know what? Sometimes the rope. Okay, stop.
Let me do my Daft Punk.
Sometimes the road is very long. But you know what? 7 minutes of that song would have convinced me that the road is very long. It's the second to last song on the album?
No, it's like the third or fourth.
It's like the third. Okay.
Because Bankrupt on Selling.
That's right. Oh, yes.
Styrofoam Boots. It's All Nice, All Nice.
Yeah. Which that song might be a little too long as well to me. Look at those eyes.
Watch it.
Watch it.
That's the best. That's the best closer they've ever done.
Bankrupt on Selling would have been it. Oh man.
See, okay. Yeah, I wish we could record my eye looks to Rob right now. But anywho, my tide for worst is Dance Saw.
Yeah.
It's a song.
It goes long. It goes long and it goes long.
And it's about a dance. I mean, I don't know. And that's even one where when it's on.
Dance hall every day. We're going to dance hall every day.
I don't skip it.
No, it works fine on the album.
Yeah, but yeah, I wouldn't. I'm never thinking, God, you know what song I need to listen to is Dance Hall. Like, I need to listen to it. Never have.
All right, so it's my turn in our snake draft.
Yeah.
I got nothing. I got nothing for you.
Underrated. I will say, funny enough, off of that same record, I have two. Okay. I have two for almost everything. Underrated. Bury Me With It is
What Remains With It.
Well, by the way, I almost invited my wife onto this podcast because I've been singing Modest Mouse these last 2 weeks. And when you are singing Modest Mouse with no music and you're just singing it, you sound insane. And my wife has been giving me the most concerned looks, having never listened to Modest Mouse in her life. Because I'll just be going around going like, we're shooting at a mountain of dirt and nothing was broken and nothing was hurt. But I probably should have.
I got Casey's back. Just watching you right now in our Zoom meeting. Like, Colton looks insane.
It is. That song is so great. And I just love, again, talking about how funny he is when he says, when that moment comes, promise me this, my friend, please bury me with it. He's talking about the end of the world. And mm-hmm. he says, I just don't need none of that Mad Max bullshit.
Yeah.
So it's cool. He has an ability to be like super like witty and comical without it being obnoxious or without mm-hmm. it feeling like a comedy kind of a thing. Yeah. It's not Tenacious D.
Yeah, and just the way he can make we've talked about this in previous episodes. How do you play that? Like, if you're playing the piano version of that song, what do you do for the vocal melody?
You just slap the side of the piano with a
wah, wah da da with it.
But that's where Eric Judy, right? That bass line is awesome.
You want to get your second one out of the way?
Since I guess so. Black Cadillacs.
I can't say enough for that chorus. And we were done with all the fucking around.
Oh my God. I got the songs confused.
Okay.
We got to cut this.
Okay.
What's the other one? Is it called The View?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, The View is great. The View.
That's my underrated.
Well, shit, man. I like Black Cadillacs.
Black Cadillacs is good, too. Can I probably just have my underrated be Bury Me With It?
We got the land, but they got the view.
Oh, my God. Yeah. All right. You're underrated, Rob.
My underrated song is actually going to be, Cowboy Dan.
Oh, my God.
Cowboy Dan is just, I mean, that fires a rifle to the sky. If I'm going to die, then you're going to die. And just
God, if you have to die, I have to die, you have to. Oh, my God.
And the existential, like, just crisis that goes through it. And I mean, can't do it, not even sober. That's a moment where it's like I have to bring up the lyrics, because in that little segment I'm like, I can't hear what the fuck you're saying, Isaac, but I feel like it's deep. And so I had to pull up the lyrics and look in that segment, and it's just everything. And also when I was listening to it earlier today, I was literally standing in the tall grass thinking about nothing, and I don't know, the sun hit my face and I closed my eyes and I just enjoyed that little moment of beauty in the song. That song's so good.
It's
so good.
It's amazing.
And it's probably really, it's not underrated, and it's underappreciated.
Well, and I think sometimes it's a personal thing, yeah. Right? Where we just never thought about that song, or like, didn't think of it enough.
Yeah. That song's fantastic.
Yeah. I appreciate it. I think my overrated is kind of, it was the most obvious one I could think of. I don't have
no.
It's the most obvious one.
No, it's not Float On.
It is Float On.
It's not
It is. When float I hear that song again, it is. So good. Hey, everybody. Overrated does not mean we don't think the song is good.
Look at us.
We're very on brand. Float On was, there are very cool people where Float On was not the first Modest Mouse song they heard. It was something else. Float On was for, I think, a lot of people, the first Modest Mouse song that they heard.
Was me?
Yeah, mine too.
But anyway, yeah, all right. I do see where you're coming from. I think that makes sense.
It's not the song where, I think I've used this for other overrated songs. When you hear it, like, I just don't think it's a good representation of what makes Modest Mouse so amazing. It is a good song, but it is not a, like, not a good, like, thing I would use to get someone into Modest Mouse necessarily, which is stupid because obviously it did. It got everybody into Modest Mouse.
I mean, yeah, it did its job, but okay. I can understand. I would choose, out of the two hit singles from that, I would not choose Float On. I would choose the Ocean Breeze Salty. I think that is not as good as Float On.
That was close to my overrated. Yeah. So is that yours?
Nope. I'm about to really piss off Colton, everybody. I'm certain it has to be. Let me just get this out. Let me just get all my notes out. Trailer Trash. It's a very heralded song. When it came out, it's got good lyrics here and there, but it's got all those usual Modest Mouse cliches. But it's boring to me. Like, it does all the things. It just doesn't hit the same way. Now, we'll get into this later. Don't give me your side eye. I don't need your side eye crap. Oh, now he's looking at me straight on. That was good. That was a good counter. That was a good counteract. But yeah, man, I think it ends really nice. Yeah, I mean, I love that line, the short love and a long divorce.
And a couple of kids, of course.
Yeah. Brilliant lyrics, but just the music to me is not as, it's not as captivating. It just doesn't land the same way as well as they later on, they kind of hone it in and make it better. Just that song. I read how much people love that song and listen to it. Is it my turn to use our Know Your Rights statement?
Go for it.
Does not mean bad song. Does not mean bad song.
That's fair. That's just fair.
Overrated.
That is one of my favorites on that record.
I was going to say, did I piss you off?
You didn't, but I will say that here my, like, and we're going to talk about best albums soon. Not now, but soon. Mm-hmm. One thing I understand about Modest Mouse, and especially in those first two that we're talking about, right? Mm. Lonesome Crowded West and Moon in Antarctica. I think the album as a whole is more than the sum of the individual songs. I don't think Modest Mouse was always as focused on the individual song with every record. I think they were way more interested in the way that the record was like pulsing and breathing and the way things added to other things. I think when you get to the latter two, and especially Dead Before The Ship Even Sank, that is where each song gets so much more attention.
Oh, and we're going to have interesting viewpoints on that.
Yeah, but so I can see how in that regard, Trailer Trash, there's not a ton I think that it does that's super interesting.
I do think, though, on the outro, I think that's very pretty. As they're hitting the outro, that's, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That started hitting a lot more. It's just, I don't know. It's not a bad song. It's just, the last 2 weeks I had to listen to this album the most. And that song, just every time it came out, I was like, I know it's good lyrics and I know it's pretty. It's just, maybe I'm biased. Maybe I do have the latter. I'm a latter day Modest Mouse fan.
I think that's why this discussion works so well, because we're representing both.
Exactly. Both eras. Even though still, I would say Modest Mouse is much more your band. I love Modest Mouse, but I would say you're probably the better historian.
We can all share Modest Mouse. I will say, I think a lot of people that love Trailer Trash, I think it's one of the few, I mean, Isaac Rock can be a really personal songwriter, but I think that is maybe his, from what I understand or think, his most outwardly personal song about himself growing up. That's where I think a lot of
I don't need to hear all that shit, Isaac.
Shove that down.
Yeah, come on, man. It.
Come on.
Dance hall, baby.
dance hall. Whatever. See, now I'm coming around. I love that song.
There you go. And Isaac, please, anytime you get a chance, let the whole world know your thoughts. I love it.
Right. Well, let's do this. I think we've done this in the past. We've flipped it to do worst album and then end on best album.
Okay. We want to do that this time.
Let's do it. My worst is, I'm going to take it, Snake Draft, baby. Snake Draft. good news for people who love bad news. Of these four, and again, the daylight here is just non-existent. I love, like, you've already heard me, people, talk about several of these songs on that record.
Oh.
I think the problem, I think, for that record to me, when I listen back to it this time, of the four, it is thematically, to me at least, the less coherent. I think it's also they're most optimistic. It's funny because the album title is kind of perfectly posed for what it is. It's got a good amount of optimism, but it's Modest Mouse optimism, so it's also kind of a downer at the same time.
Yeah.
Which is good news for people who love bad news, I guess. But it's also, I think because of that, it doesn't have the edge that I want off of these other albums. These other albums give me such huge, profound, like, reconsiderations of everything about my life and how I exist on the earth as a person. Good news, this collection that doesn't reach that same level. I think that's the best I can say to criticize it.
Yeah, and I can't agree with you on it, just looking at the track list. I can agree with what your concept is.
Right.
Of why, Victoria, it's like, okay, I guess it doesn't necessarily speak to one particular theme throughout the whole thing, but at the same time, I'm a little torn on that, but I like something that I think it was, what was it, Play Louder. They had it quoted to her. It feels amidst his bare and heartfelt explorations of life and the old wooden box wherein we all end up, Brock has learned to dance, learned to allow himself to smile. And that's where I kind of felt that with the album. That was just something that I read, and I'm like, that's, I think that encapsulates why I like this so much. Is it still has the existential crisis. It still has the nihilism. You can dance a little bit to some of the parts. And I'm not going off a dance hall. So everybody slow your rolls. You know, but yeah, I don't know. It's just, I can't see a single song on this that I dislike.
You know what's funny? I can see a couple towards the end. I think One Chance and The Good Times Are Killing Me
The Good Times Are Killing Me is, that's probably the most I can relate to lyrics out of all of his lyrics.
Okay. And I cannot, so I don't know.
I was gonna like, no, I understand that one, man.
Yep. I think that's the thing is, like, to me, Modest Mouse is, you know, those rhythms are great. I think that's just not what I go to Modest Mouse for. I don't need the smile optimism.
And it is it's a much smoother. It is when their recordings become a lot smoother. They become a little more swallowable to the regular look.
Yeah, I could swallow that. I totally swallow swallowing. Yeah. Everyone's swallowed.
It's just easier to digest for your regular swallower. All of that got cut out.
Oh, you can cut things out.
Yeah, I'm the
editor. Guess that's technically true. You can. Yeah.
Do you want to edit down an episode?
No, you're good.
Yeah. All right, cool. Worst album, I already told you. It's Lonesome Crowded West. Obviously, all the songs are really good. Some of them, though, and it kind of fits into Trucker's
Atlas.
Yeah, Trucker's Atlas. It's a lot of the songs kind of have that to me, to where they don't have the sophistication of complete songwriting, I think. And it, that can be cool, but it's just, I think that it doesn't, it's kind of like it's beta Modest Mouse to me.
Interesting. Yeah.
You know, to where it's like they're learning how to make, because what we said earlier, a lot of the styles still get repeated in later albums. They still go back to these kind of like rude approaches to songwriting. And I think that album definitely, and again, is not a whole lot of daylight between these, you know, but that one just seems, it's like, yeah, it's great. And it's cool listening to them finding themselves. But I like when it gets honed a little more later on. And just out of these four, this is the one that doesn't hit as strong as the remaining three.
I think the reason that older Modest Mouse, and not even just these, like I have like Sad Sappy Sucker, which is really just a collection of really early demos they have. Mm-hmm. I have that on vinyl. I have basically, I think all of their releases in between records I've been able to pick up. I think the only one I don't have is Everywhere and is Nasty Parlor Tricks. But I think when I've listened to enough of those earlier Modest Mouse, like pre Good News for People Who Love Bad News, I have always been drawn to like really scratchy kind of unfinished recordings anyway. Like that is my like go-to aesthetic, that really crunchy, chunky, like sounds like you just put a mic in the middle of somewhere. Like the, and I appreciate like, you know, studio production, but I'll never love it as much. I just can't. And
I suppose that's fine, but when I think of this album, it's a rarity based off of, again, everybody last year. It's not that common for a band to keep getting better.
Right.
It's like usually the candle burns out. They're like an incense to me, to where it's like the smell gets sweeter. The incense starts, it's harder to light, but once it gets lit, it's great. And that's why just with this album, it seems like from the moment you light the beginning of this album as an incense, just the
is
next...
Is this the Erykah Badu incense?
It is the Erykah Badu. It's the the Isaac Brock one where he just grabbed all of his
no
boxers.
One's buying the Isaac Brock. No one's going to buy that.
But that's kind of how I feel, to where it's just,
it's
like...
interesting.
Well, it's a great start, but I just think that they expand upon it so much. And I know that, yes, they do get into with better producers, major label, all that good stuff, but... they didn't drop the ball. They don't sound to me like they were bought.
You know? I don't think that, because I mean, technically Moon and Antarctica are, which got, by the way, such a hard name to say. That's a major label, right?
That's major label. First major label. Yeah.
But here's my very small counter to that. Mm-hmm. And I love later Modest Mouse, these last two records, especially, but I do think something is lost. And not in a way where they get worse. I think that what makes the band what they are in those first two records that we are talking about, everyone, Lonesome Crowded and Moon.
Yeah.
I think it's a trio, right? They have their own synergy they're working with. I think once they move into the Good News era, and then from there, in a lot of ways, they become a different band to me. And a very good thing. An amazing band. But I do think that their approach to things, I also think the themes... and the way that they approach, I mean, the song, you could say the songwriting is tighter. I also though think that like Lonesome and Moon are both the, I think their philosophy to songwriting is just different to me. And I think that for a lot of people, why Lonesome is so amazing is the philosophy behind a lot of the songs, whereas to stretch ideas, sometimes to the point where they shouldn't be stretched.
Mm-hmm.
Trucker Atlas.
I mean, I would also say like Teeth Like God's Shoe Shine and Doing the Cockroach are a little stretched out.
That's insane.
That's not insane.
Teeth Like God's Shoe Shine has different parts. It all moves really nicely. It's also really beautiful. And Doing the Cockroach
starts amazingly.
And neither but fear them as well. And that's like good old fashioned atheist nihilism, man. It is.
Well, and I think this is the complexity, the fascinating. What's over? This is what our duality is for our show.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like I'm not huge on lyrics, and not to say that they're bad in any way, but it's just,
you hate them.
I hate lyrics. I just wish people would stop, just mumble. Just please mumble, hum the song. I don't need lyrics.
Every time you go to sing during one of your shows, I hear you like throw up in your mouth and go,
clap your hands if you like, man.
I totally get it. I can see approaching these four and definitely seeing an upward trajectory. I don't necessarily see it as much of that. I almost see it as like two separate hills. That makes sense. Anywho, I totally respect your opinion, and believe I respect you as a person.
I'm down to take a walk on both those hills.
So now we get to the fun stuff. Now we get to talk about our best albums. What is your best album, Snakecraft?
Did you say your worst album?
I did. I said...
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. My bad. Okay. You did that a few episodes ago, so it's my turn.
Snicked up.
Best album. It's without question, and I don't mention any of their songs in our categories, but it's We Were Dead Before the Ship Even Sank. I love all of it.
It's a very good album.
Every fucking second of that album, I just enjoy the hell out of... I don't even know if I wrote that much about. All I wrote for best album was "We Were Dead Before the Ship Even Sank." It's such an easy selection for me, and it's definitely the one I've listened to the most. I'm glad that you didn't choose "Dashboard" as a overrated song. That would have
me out. That guitar line alone,
that and it's funny you say
Louvre.
That.
It's perfect.
Playing the rhythm guitar part for that is brilliant.
I remember you and Walter coming into a practice one day.
Yeah.
And you guys were just both playing "Dashboard" constantly. I was like, yeah, okay.
it's so much fun to play. But yeah, "March into the Sea," "Fire It Up," "Florida," gee, "Parting of the Century." I mean, I miss the boat. We've got everything. Yeah. So I guess what is it? We got everything down to a science. So I guess we know everything. Like, Brock, I love you. I love you. That's the agnostic in him.
Okay. But I
really got to stop doing that laugh.
Where is that coming from?
Oh, it's happening pretty much every episode. So
Education was almost my underrated. Because when I heard it again, I went, ooh. And, but also, what is it? "Fly in a Jar."
I'm just going over the list. We skipped over "Fly Trapped in a Jar." Like, yeah, like, "One wing isn't even enough." What a good hook. That is such a brilliant Isaac Bright. Yeah, and just "Little Motel," like I told you, just swept me off my feet earlier today. "Steam." Okay, that one's
don't good. You think I was gonna say, don't you think towards the end, I think some of those songs live on the same street. I think "Fly Trapped in a Jar," "Education," and "Steam Igneous," they all kind of live in a similar universe. Mm-hmm. I don't know why "Steam" is in there. Cut that out. Put it on a B-side.
I still think it's great.
Oh, it's great, but yeah. It's
well, and especially for my favorite album. But but yeah, and then God, dude, "Spitting Venom" is so cool. That song's so cool.
I think that is a good example of, and I'm going to take your side of this for a second, what you're saying about "The Lonesome Crowded West," where in their longer songs, they let these ideas stretch out. Mm-hmm. I think "Spitting Venom" is a great example of them honing that craft.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
So yeah, that's my favorite album, everybody. I can go on forever. That's the one that, honestly, out of these four albums, I probably listen to the most, just in my own, not having to do it for a podcast.
I think track to track, like song to song, it has, and I'll agree with you on this, I think it has the just highest success rate. Like, I don't think there's a bad song on there. There isn't. Yeah. I know there isn't.
And
it's pretty great.
And you know what? Jeremiah Green came back for it. So there you go.
It's funny. I always try to hear where Johnny Marr is in this. Like, and I think it's some of those slightly, because like you can tell when Isaac Bright is playing a lead, I think. Yeah. Right. Oh,
absolutely. It's what we said earlier in this cast.
Yeah.
He's got his own personality. It's his style.
But I do think Johnny Marr adds something.
Yeah.
Which is cool.
And I'm pretty sure this is probably Joe from Lesmore's least favorite album because Johnny Marr was part of the Smiths.
Sorry, Joe. Oh man, I know I keep saying this. If we were doing like one extra little bit, the EP that comes, I believe, after this one.
I knew you were going to do this shit to me.
You've never heard it yet, have you?
No. There's only two other albums outside of these two or these four albums that I've listened to, and it's the two that follow. "We Were Dead Before the Ship Even Sank."
"No One's First and You're Next." That is, to me, if I'm like just being honest, that's the best thing they've ever done. It's so great. And it's from this same era. That's why I think you're going to love it. It's still got Johnny Marr in there. It's got, I think, their just strongest collection of.
Johnny Marr is not the pulling factor for me.
That's what you love. Gravity that's all you yet. Talk about is Johnny Marr. But what I'm saying is, it's that lineup that created that record. It's them just going off even more. But my favorite of these four, and my favorite album of them, one of my favorite albums ever, like maybe top three,
I'm just
is
going
The
to,
Moon and Antarctica.
I'm going to piggyback a little bit there. That's also my opinion on "We Were Dead Before the Ship Even Sank." It's one of my favorite albums of all time.
Well, but all of
so
my,
is this album. So is
all
this.
Of all of my esteem just taken away. Thank you.
I know.
No, but, The Moon and Antarctica is. I'm going to say this, like we were talking about perfect songs. This record to me is perfect. It is. And what's funny about it is, I can't
really argue with you. Well, except for I Came as a Rat.
Well, here's the thing to me about what makes it perfect. When I think of records, we talk a lot about this, like what makes a record perfect, right? And everyone has their own thought process. It is, to me at least, that everything is accounted for and that there are moments. Like a good record to me is made up of moments. It's not made up of songs. Like the moments from one track to the other. And sometimes it's in the middle of a song that sets up something and the other song maybe at the very end of it. Yeah. Like there are peaks and valleys, right? That make a good record what it is. I think a record we have not talked about yet, that's Quotidian to bring up in this, right? It's Clarity, right? Is another one. A record of moments where he's like really just like, what is happening?
Yeah.
But
if anybody's familiar with Colton, Jimmy World is.
They're coming. I don't know when they're coming.
I wonder how they compare to Modest Mouse. That'll be
tricky.
Really interesting.
They're like a completely different school of songwriting too.
Oh, absolutely. But the amount of love I think we both have for them.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
Oh my God, man.
And it is, I think the other thing for me is like thematically, like the things that resonate with me the most as an artist, but also as someone who loves to ingest art. To me, it's the only things that matter. Death, God, or the existence of God.
Taxes.
Fear of like the unknown, right?
Oh, yeah.
That song is all about like how we handle death as humans and how we deal with this.
Do you say song or album?
Album. The entire album to me is that. Like it is, but it's also cold and it's not a celebration of life. Right. No. It's cold. At times it can feel meaningless. Tiny Cities Made of Ashes is, oh my God.
Oh, yeah, good.
It's like, does anybody know a way that a body could get away? Like everything
does
about it.
Does anybody know a way?
Drinking Coca-Cola.
That was pretty good. No. A different city, the cold part. Jeez. Alone down there, like I said,
is a song about him having a dream about meeting the devil.
That's funny. I interpret in my head as it's kind of like we're all sinners, so everybody would be in hell. Or it's like, I don't want you to be alone down there. Like I'm gonna go there with you. That's how I interpret it. Because you know me, I'm only gonna hear like kind of lyrics at a moment unless I'm reading it.
Yeah.
Stars
are projectors.
Stars are projectors. And one of the first songs I could. In my memory, which is not always aligned, as we all know, but when I was talking about Float On and talking, and you were like, oh, you got to listen to like Lonesome Crowded West, you got to listen to Moon in Antarctica. I got through the title. Oh, man, that was tough.
Yeah.
But Wild Pack of Family Dogs was one of the first ones I remember you going, like, just check this song out. And I don't think you said check it out. I think you played it. I think you just picked up an acoustic, and I was really mad because you were our drummer at the time, and I was like, no, no, you do not sing and play guitar. What is happening here? Yeah, Paper Thin Wall. Oh, almost made my list. Not Lives, even though Lives is beautiful, but I still get a little annoyed at that little change. It's still beautiful. I there's something about like abrupt. That sometimes it still works on this, but Life Like Weeds is so good, and I don't know what they're playing about that. Like,
and I think that's like, sonically this record, and like I could talk lyrically for days about this, but I think what you're pointing at that I love sonically, this record, you could take the lyrics out, this record works perfectly. Mm-hmm. Like this might still be one of my top records because it's so atmospheric. It invokes that barren, desolate landscape so perfectly. And I don't know, I find like with Lives, I totally get what you're saying. I think the first time I heard Lives, there was like that shift is really jarring, but
but the lyrics are still beautiful over it.
And that's what I think.
It's hard to remember. It's hard to remember.
My
before you die.
My God, my mom's God is a woman, and my mom, she is a witch. Like it is, I don't know. Like those are the things. Like when you're young, when I was younger, and I was like trying to find an outlet for thinking about things like God and death. Mm-hmm. That record gave me language I didn't have. and it was like treating like these really sort of sacred objects as ordinary things that you can pick up and mess with. Like the God that Isaac Brock writes about, whether or not it's the capital G God that other people get really into,
man with the beard in the sky,
you know, that guy. Yeah, but yeah. I think he treats this sacred thing as one of many things on a chessboard that he can pick up, he can criticize, he can throw away. Like nothing is off limits to Isaac Brock when he's writing like this. And he does it in such a thoughtful way that like it's, yeah. I don't know, like those don't come around often. It's beautiful.
Yeah. No, we definitely, he's an American treasure, a Washington treasure. I'm pretty sure that he resides in Oregon now.
I was going to say, I think he's an Oregon.
But they started in whatever, Issaquah or whatever it's called, Washington. Which I did like the fact that he wanted to go with that so they wouldn't be Seattle. And it's kind of the same as my friend Sam, where it's like, no, we're Lancaster. We're not Los Angeles.
That's exactly right. Yeah. Oh, my God. Is that it? Did we reach the end of our Modest Mouse discussion?
I believe we did, man.
I think it's time to take a second break.
I'm going to take a leak.
Another one?
When it comes to making the goings-on of the world entertaining, we got you covered. The Chit Show is a news, pop culture, geek culture, and music podcast hosted by none other than Danny, a.k.a. Danko, and me, Leo, a.k.a. DJ Brute. Tune in as we cover all sorts of topics with a very opinionated and wild twist. The Chit Show Podcast, where chit chat and shit shows come together for your entertainment. Tune in on your favorite streaming platforms with new episodes dropping every other Monday. Again, that's The Chit Show, a Baseblown Entertainment podcast.
Can I bring us back in from commercial break?
Go ahead.
Hey, everybody. No. All right. Welcome back, everybody. We are back. That's right. That's right. We're down to our last segment of the show. We have two segments left.
That's right. We need to give our ratings for the four albums of Modest Mouse that we talked about. Are you ready?
I think I am. I'm wondering who's going to have the higher rating out of us two, because mine's pretty fucking high.
Mine's pretty high. Mine is, it's definitely the highest I've ever given. And I've been thinking about this a lot. I've been thinking of, if I were to take all of Modest Mouse, like just the actual records, right? And really that accounts for, I think there's one record that we're not talking about, Before Lonesome Crowded West. And then there's the two others, Strangers to Ourselves and the Golden Casket.
Casket was so good to me.
I don't know where the score would be. And I really don't. I'm not saying this in a bad way or a good way. I just don't know.
No, that's fair.
Yeah. I'd have to take it totally different. But
my ranking is strictly off the four.
Exactly. Yeah. Because like I opened this for why I chose these four. I just think it is one of the strongest runs of records. And each one, I think we could say this, each one is so different from the others.
I know. So different while very similar to me. Even though I know that there's like this darkness between the first two compared to the last two, I still hear a consistency in like it's Modest Mouse.
Oh, I think you're right. I mean, I think you can't have Isaac Brock front the band. Like
that is very true. I don't know if Isaac Brock, he could start a side project, and I'm sure he has plenty, or just be like, it sounds like Modest Mouse to me, man.
In the best of ways, right? It'll be him. Yeah,
nothing but a compliment.
So wait, what's your? I want to hear yours first.
I'll go first.
Yeah,
I'm giving it a 9 out of 10. Those four albums are special. It checks all the boxes that I like, and it even checks one that I don't pay that much attention to. Really great lyrics. It's so unique, and it has its own thing that is so wonderful. And it, given the fact that it's four albums, like you said, who knows if we branched out to more Modest Mouse, it might go down. I doubt it would go up, you know, but because we chose these four.
I had this number locked in already. I promise. Mm-hmm. 9.5 out of 10.
I thought you were going to go 9.5. Yeah.
I believe now I got to remember. I believe that Decemberus was my highest at this point.
I think it was 8.5.
8.5. From the bands that we've covered, Modest Mouse is, to me, again, this is like a very personal opinion, like the pinnacle. and in so many ways. And I don't write like Isaac Brock. I don't sing like Isaac Brock. None of my music sounds like Modest Mouse, but it's the approach, the sincerity, like the need to like explore things that other people might be afraid to explore.
Yeah.
I don't know. I love it.
I didn't think either one of us were going to go below 9. And I anticipated that you were going to be hesitant to say 10. You know,
it's, and I don't know. It's, I've thought about this more. What's a 10 out of 10 band?
Honestly, it depends. It would be an album. And even then, I think you and I are just like snobs, just because we, now we've had guests who have gone like 5 out of 5, and we both are like, no, you can't say that.
Well, yeah, how for all future you? Guests coming on your podcast beforehand, like, I think we're gonna like have like a training setup before you come in to record an episode with us, where it's like, spend a couple of weeks, start to criticize things around you.
Yeah,
like,
just get mad.
Just start to like voice your opinion to the void, and then by the time you get to where we're at, you're ready. You're ready.
Exactly.
Oh my God.
Spend 2 weeks listening to all of Weezer's albums and you'll know how to be a critic.
Oh my God. That'll do it. That'll harden
you. I'm sorry, Rivers. I'm bringing you back, but
don't be sorry. Everything. I mean, the Black Album.
I like the opening track.
Okay. You know what? It's your turn. Our final segment of the episode.
Oh my God. It is.
Rob will now give me a series of hints to see what band we are talking about next. Our second episode of 2024, Rob, it's got to be good.
I think it'll be fine.
Also, this is likely what I'll be listening to during my Christmas break. Don't make me hate you, buddy.
I don't think you will hate me.
I don't think I will.
I'm very confident in that. Okay. What's a good hint here?
Give me a hard hint first.
I'm trying. San Francisco.
Okay, that's pretty tough. Good. Wait. I don't know. No, okay, give me another one.
Dance floor. Nothing? All right.
No, wait. Like, I just want to start naming things. There's a band in my head. Is it a band or a person?
It is a band.
It is a band.
All right, let me give you one more hint.
Have we played with this band?
We have not played with this band.
Okay,
no.
Never mind. Okay. It's not facing New York. My dad
it is not facing you. San Francisco. Why San?
I don't know. It was a Byzantine quite, pathway.
I'm happy you're not sure. Happy you're not sure.
San Francisco. Dance floor.
Balaclava.
What? I mean, Vampire Weekend is the only band I know that is. Sure.
All right. Here's a hint for you. Christmas present from Colton.
Oh, is it the Arctic Monkeys?
It's the Arctic Monkeys. Thank you for that.
When you
final,
said
Colton.
Dance floor, I thought, I was like, I bet you look good on the dance floor. That was my thought.
Yeah,
I am going to finally get to listen to the Arctic Monkeys.
Yes. Now we are not listening to a whole bunch of Arctic Monkeys. Actually, I'm keeping it pretty freaking brief for us.
Okay.
I'm going with the aughts Arctic Monkeys. So we are only listening to whatever people say I am.
Mm-hmm.
We're only listening to Favorite Worst Nightmare and Humbug.
Okay. Three records.
We're just doing those three records. And I mean, Suckin' and See is only 2 years after, but then it just turns. It's a lot of albums, or it's five more albums after that. So let's stick to these three.
Let's stick to the three. All right. So those three of the 2000s, everybody.
That's right.
I am excited for this. I really think I'm going to. Am I going to enjoy myself?
You'll enjoy the first two. I can't say enough on Humbug, because honestly, Humbug is where I dropped off. It's a little bit of reinvigorating my own fandom of.
I'm gonna come in and I'm just gonna be like totally game for Humbug and be like, what are you talking about?
I haven't listened to it that much. I think I listened to it one time and we're like, it's not the same. But I may be wrong. I listened to it one time. Yeah.
This is my penance for like 20 years of friendship, where Rob was asking me to listen to many bands, but this band in particular, and now I'm gonna listen to this band.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Those three albums, everybody. Nice and simple. Nice and simple.
Nice and simple. Well, everybody, enjoy. I mean, I was about to say, enjoy your holidays. Holidays are over. Enjoy your January.
That's right. It's a new year. you know, just stay positive. Keep up. Keep on trying for that resolution.
And guess what, listener? You're doing a good job.
Absolutely.
You're doing a great job. We are doing okay jobs.
Yeah, we're doing one notch below you guys. This has been Baseblown Entertainment.
Yeah, thank you to Baseblown. BBP. No, BBE.
Yeah.
I don't know where we got the P from.
I'm not sure either. But you know what, everybody? We're looking forward to another year with you guys. We'll do our best, and hopefully you'll listen.
Hopefully. All right, everybody. Take care. Take it free. Take it easy. Take it
to the limit.
To the limit.
All right.